Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after her father-in-law died, her three-year-old woke up and asked why Grandpa was watching her from the chair.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sure is, and we love to hear those real ghost stories. So if you've got one, would you mind sharing it with us? Call it in at 855-853-4802. Or if you want to write it in, just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. No commercials, advanced episodes, and all 5,000 plus episodes in the archive are yours. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And here's a story that you can relate to, Kathy Gordon.
Okay.
Because you have experienced this before with a child having an experience with our father who had passed on.
That's right.
And it's so interesting how many stories we've heard like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's almost kind of common that the grandkids, not the parents so much, you know, the parents might have some different type of experiences, but and I just think with the children, it's just so matter of fact. Why is Grandpa sitting in the chair watching me? Mm-hmm. You know, why, you know, Bozo, in our case, our dad, that's what Chris called him, was talking to him, or he told me this, or he told me that. It was super matter of fact.
Yeah. And I would say, when did he say this? And well, you know, when he was in my room, you know, and I'd be like, he was in your, he was sitting on my bed talking to me.
And the two of them were really, really close.
They were really close.
Chris just loved his grandfather. It was the sweetest relationship.
And and the Bozo wasn't a derogatory thing. Dad would say, hey, Bozo, would you get me the wrench or whatever? And Chris would go, I'm not a Bozo, you're a Bozo.
And so he just, instead of calling him and Grandpa, so called him Bozo.
They called each other Bozo.
And then Boz. Hey, Boz. Yeah. It was the cutest thing. But our dad had nicknames for everybody, you know? And so so it kind of makes sense he would do that, have his own nickname. But I just find it so interesting. And, you know, for children, they don't understand that the concept of death. And so to them, like, you know, Grandpa died, he went to heaven. That's a really weird concept. What does that even mean? What is heaven? Where is it? Can we go visit?
Right.
And so that's a hard thing when a child's 2, 3, 4 years old to really explain that. And then when your child is seeing them, you know, and how do you handle it as a parent? Because, you know, you're grieving and going through intense grief, and then you're hearing this, and it's a little bit heartwarming, a little bit scary and kind of paranormal, and what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's just very strange.
Well, and kids don't, you know, most of the time, don't see the body.
Right.
Right? Like, we don't, like, with my kids, I didn't take them to see Dad's body. Mm-mm. You know, and so their only thing they know is they were alive,
and now they're just gone and we never see them again.
So to see them alive again isn't such a stretch,
right?
You know,
Hey, back to the conversation in just a second. We all like good deals, don't we? You know, but you're not going to jump into a tank of flesh-hungry piranhas just to get that deal or sign your life away or some sort of commitment that just is like, really? I think I'll be dead by the time this expires. Yeah, not going to do that to just save a few bucks. But check out this deal. It's easy. No hoops, no BS. Mint Mobile. Then they told me it was easy to get wireless for just $15 a month with the purchase of a 3-month plan. I called them on it. It turns out it really is that easy to get wireless for only $15 a month. 1-5, yeah. The longest part of the process was the time I spent on hold waiting to break up with my old provider, which was so joyous. I said, it's not you, it's me. Made up a whole bunch of stuff. It really was. No one else can come close to this great offer from Mint Mobile. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/ghost. There, you'll see that right now, all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Find out how easy this is to switch to Mint Mobile and get 3 months of premium wireless service for only $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ghost. That's mintmobile.com/ghost. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ghost. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower, above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
So here's this story. It says, Christmas 1996 was wonderful. My 3-year-old daughter met my father-in-law, her grandfather, for the first time, and she called him Daddy's Grandpa. That's cute. Daddy's Grandpa. My husband and his father had been estranged for many years, but that Christmas, all was forgiven. It was really wonderful. Sadly, less than a month later, my father-in-law had a massive coronary and died instantly. His 3 children immediately made the 13-hour trip to his home to deal with all that was left behind, as well as mourn their father together. That's interesting. Just in a recent podcast, in a recent episode, kind of a same scenario where they had been estranged and came together. So
yeah,
that's really wonderful. You can't get that back. So remember that if something happens, you can't go back and change anything, but maybe that's you can forgive each other.
Yeah.
Friends of mine offered to have my daughter, my dog, and me spend a few nights with them. So my daughter and I would also have support. The 3 of us slept on the pullout couch in their basement. And one morning, the second morning in full daylight, my daughter rolled over and stared at the easy chair across from the pullout couch for a moment and then calmly turned to me and asked, "Why is Daddy's Grandpa sitting there smiling at me?" At that point, I looked at my dog and noticed that he was also staring at that chair. He wasn't growling, just intently staring in one spot. My daughter then nudged me and brought me back to her question. I said the only thing I could, "He came to see you." I could see I'd confused her because she had just recently been told he died and therefore was gone, but then she looked back at the chair and just said, "Okay." We went home that day and I was trying to figure out how to tell my husband about our daughter's experience without upsetting him when I heard my daughter in a one-sided conversation in her room. I walked into her room and saw she'd brought out the toy organ her grandfather had given her that Christmas. I asked her what she was doing, and she said, "Daddy's grandpa and I are playing with my new organ." She was so happy. I smiled and left the room. At no time did I get a creepy sensation or feel any fear. My dog didn't react negatively. All he would do was sit outside my daughter's room and wait. My husband was away for over a week, and I didn't tell him anything until he came home. I only did that because he came home during one of my daughter's and her grandfather's playtimes. He could hear our daughter talking, and he asked me who she was playing with, and that was when I told him everything. I even explained it all away as a 3-year-old's coping method, but then my husband asked me what day and time she first saw him, and I told him. I got chills when my husband said, "That's the exact time we spread his ashes." My daughter and her grandfather played together for some time after that, and we treated it as just that, playtime with her grandfather. She always felt grateful that she got that bit of extra time. That's from Diana. Isn't that interesting? Wow. They kind of dealt with it like you did. Like,
well, I love that she just said, well, he came to see you. You know, she didn't try to say, oh, he's not really there. That's impossible, honey. You know, you must just be making this up or whatever. She just, you know, said, oh, he came to see you. And yeah. That would make it seem like, oh, okay. Well, then, you know, that's fine. I don't need to be scared then. That makes sense. And so I love that she just, you know, just let her have it.
I think that's really the only thing you could do. Because if you try to convince a three-year-old, honey, you're not seeing your grandfather, he's not here, he's died, that's even more confusing mm-hmm. to a three-year-old, because now she's seeing him, but then you're telling him she's not seeing him, but she is seeing him.
Yeah.
And what do you mean he's gone because I'm seeing him?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of beautiful. I always thought it was beautiful with Chris, too.
Yeah.
Just, it was...
And I think with Chris, too, I think Chris was struggling.
It was hard for him.
Because
yeah.
Chris was a little bit older than that. And he really loved my dad. And mm-hmm. I think it was having a hard time with it. And Chris has always been super sensitive. So I think it was hard for him to come to me because he knew if he came to me, I was sad already about it. And
but
I
it
think,
was weird.
You know,
he would tell you things almost to cheer you up. Like, yeah. Hey, Bozo told me this.
But I felt like Dad came to help him because mm-hmm. he was going through a rough time.
And in a way that kind of helped others.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting time. Let's just say that.
It was.
So here's our next story. It says, this is Rebecca from Springfield, Missouri again. I have called and written before about my father, who was a tormented soul and moved our family around a lot to haunted houses. This story involved me and my three brothers, but the main part happened to my oldest brother, Daniel. The story begins the summer after my second grade year. I was 8 and my brothers were 7, 9, and 11. My father moved us out into the country to a very small town in Fallsville, Arkansas. There are no stores or civilization there for miles. It sits nestled high in the Ozark Mountains. They're out there. It does feel like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine. The house my father found to rent was a small, older house with an upstairs attic. This room would go to my older brother, Daniel. After a few weeks went by without incident, we were all settling in and getting used to our new home. My brothers and I decided to go explore the thick woods behind our house. There were no neighbors as far as you could see. The house sat out in a field of sage grass, and a lot of forest went on forever. And it is so wooded, and the Ozarks are actually quite beautiful, but they do have every time I go to the Ozarks, they have this kind of creepy feeling to them as well, and that might be just seeing movies where creepy things happen in places like that. I don't know. Exactly.
You know, exactly. But I think it is incredibly beautiful there. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It is just gorgeous. You're absolutely right. But there is a spooky element that comes with it.
I get why Tony likes living in Arkansas. Night. I really do.
Yeah.
Enjoying the summer day, we walked just inside the woods and knew not to go too far and get lost. My brother Daniel spotted something white sticking up from the ground, and we all went to check it out. With all of us on our knees, we began digging with our hands to uncover the white object. To our surprise, we found three old mannequin heads made of styrofoam, like something you would see in a wig shop. They were in good condition, a bit dirty, but Daniel decided that we should take them home. And since he was interested in magic at the time, he could incorporate them into some of his magic acts. It sounds like such a kid thing. These will be great for my magic act.
Yeah.
We decided to clean them up and store them in an empty hallway closet for safekeeping. Days passed since we'd found the mannequin heads, and strange things began to happen around the house. Daniel said he began to hear soft whispers and laughter downstairs. Thinking it was just one of his siblings, he ignored the voices and fell back to sleep. The next night, the whispers continued, only louder, and scratching noises inside the walls as if something was trying to get out. Daniel wondered what could be making the noises and thought it might be us again trying to scare him. He grabbed a flashlight, crept downstairs to try to catch us in the act of our prank. When he got back to the bottom of the stairs, there was only dead silence, and he opened up our bedroom doors to find us in a deep sleep. He said he was puzzled, and suddenly he thought about the mannequin heads just a few steps away in the hall closet. He decided to open the closet door to see if anything was amiss. As he got closer to the door, he heard a creeping sound and saw the door slowly open a few inches. Not waiting around to see who or what opened the door, he ran back up the stairs to his room in the attic. Chills ran through his body, and he finally convinced himself it must have been his footsteps on an old wooden floor that had caused the door to jar open. Feeling a bit foolish for being so scared, he dismissed what he saw and fell back to sleep. The next morning, when he came down the stairs, he went to the hall closet and found the closet shut completely. He went to open the door, and the knob felt warm in his hand like someone had been holding it. He opened the door and found the heads were there, but in a different position than he had put them. He thought it must have been one of us taking them out to play with them. The next couple of nights were quiet and peaceful, and everything seemed normal. My brother thought about the ways he could use the heads in his magic show. I just love that about Daniel. He enjoyed doing shows for his friends and family. Then one night, the house felt different. He said it felt like eyes were watching him all through the house, and that when he stepped outside, the feeling would go away. Storm clouds were gathering, so he decided to go spend some time in his room and go to bed early. He awoke suddenly in the middle of the night to the voices, laughter, and rain hitting the window just above his bed. He heard the sounds of footsteps as if several people were walking on the roof just above his head. He said that hair stood up all over his body, and that same feeling of being watched was stronger than he'd ever felt before. The voices became clear. He thought that he heard a female voice saying, "Let us in," and then repeated it louder. Oh, I don't like that. He was sure he heard it the second time saying to let them in. He was frozen with fear and began to pray. The voices had stopped, and when he was sure it was safe to peek out from under the covers, he was shocked to see the three mannequin heads peering at him outside the window. They looked like they were upside down, leaning over the roof outside and looking down at him. Once again, he heard the voice, "Let us in." That's when his fear or flight response set in. He threw back the covers and began to bolt down the stairs, and from behind him, he heard the sound of laughter following him. He was sure that they were going to get him. Running down the hall, he passed the wide-open closet door. Not stopping to look inside, he flung open my bedroom door and leaped into bed with me. I was jolted awake and alarmed at his behavior because I had never known him to be afraid of anything. He was sweating and breathing so hard he couldn't speak when I asked him what was wrong. I could feel him trembling under the blankets and him saying that they were after him. He didn't say any more that night. I thought he must have just had a bad dream, and the next morning as we were waking up, my brother refused to tell me what made him so scared. He only said that we had to get those heads out of the house. We gathered up a black trash bag, a small shovel, and went to the closet to get them. The door was closed, and Daniel stood a few feet away while I opened the door. The heads were there, but they were soaking wet and smelling moldy. I'll never forget the expression on my brother's face when I told him that they were wet. I wondered how they got that way, since the closet appeared to be dry, but I put them in the trash bag, and not saying another word, we set out for the woods to put them back in the hole where we found them. Daniel said they never bothered him again after they were returned to the place we dug them up from. It took many years before he would tell me and my two other brothers the full details of this story. He's never understood why they wanted to let them in since they could get back in on their own. We never told our parents the strange and unexplained happenings in our lives. My mom never experienced anything paranormal while we were children growing up. Now that me and my brothers are all adults, and on occasions when we all get together, we discuss with each other the things that happened in our childhoods, and many of our stories are the same. I have lots more stories to share with y'all if you are interested. Thanks for reading my brother's story and for doing what you do. That's so interesting because that was totally us as kids and adults. We did the same things. As adults, we've all talked about it, and and discovered stories and found similarities, and it's very weird.
But it does remind me of the old, well, I guess it's a proverb. I guess it's what they call, let sleeping mannequins lie.
Yes, that is an old proverb about the mannequins.
Like, if you're walking along in the forest and you see some buried mannequin heads, they're there for a reason, people.
Don't disturb and the mannequin heads.
Even more so if you're in Arkansas.
Oh my God, yes. You're in the frickin' Ozarks.
They are there for a reason. There is a purpose, and you leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
The second they dug them up, I'm like, yo, this doesn't end good. You know.
And bless Daniel's heart. He might have had the most creative, fun magic show with those mannequin heads.
But you can get those at Oriental Trading for not that much money, and they will be great in your magic show.
Well, and it is weird to even come
across
them.
Because they were just the styrofoam wig ones.
That's what it sounds like.
And I'm like, why would those have any sort of, you know, curse or any sort of possession about them? That's so strange.
And do you think that he really, it's interesting because mannequin heads shouldn't have been wet, but she's the one who's like, these are wet.
Yeah.
But then they couldn't really be outside hanging upside down from the roof. Like, is that just a vision that he's seeing in his head? But then how are they wet?
Right.
Was there just a drip? If they had him in the attic, you know, maybe there's a leak. It's a whole house in the middle of the Ozarks. I could see the roof leaking.
But she said the closet appeared to be dry.
Yeah.
You know, the creepiest part of that was the let us in thing.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
You know.
And it makes me think there had to have been, maybe there was more paranormal activity, or was it all just associated with three styrofoam wig heads?
That's what it sounds like, because once they were reburied, it seemed to go back to okay.
But at the very beginning, she said their dad had him living in lots of haunted houses.
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting. So I think the takeaway for everyone with this story is let mannequin heads lie. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Let sleeping mannequins lie.
Yeah.
Whether it's just the head or the whole body, whatever.
Just leave them alone.
Yeah, they're buried for a reason.
Just know they are there for some demonic purpose that you don't need to have any part of.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
And you don't even question it.
So this next story is a short one, but it is about an art installation, so I thought you might find it interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It says, this story is rather simple, but I thought I'd share a story about how something was drawn to a place that I used to work at, and it could have been attached to me if it continued. That's interesting. While I was in college, I was working on campus in an art gallery, and I believe the second month I started working there, the director brought in a really dark installation. There were things that would make weird noises and two exhibits that talked about the real reasons behind the Iraq War and how World War II got started. Anyway, people would come in and tell us how creepy everything was and how you could tell people were noticeably disturbed when leaving sometimes. Anyway, the first time we really thought something supernatural was going on was when I came in one day and started picking up a bunch of random papers from the ground, and the director stopped me and said, "Thanks, but you can just leave them there." The printer just randomly turned on and started throwing paper everywhere, and I wanted the IT guy to see it. I thought that was weird, but just as I said, okay and went to my desk. A few days later, I came in and started helping my coworker bring in some boxes, and I looked off into space and noticed a woman walk away from the desk down the hall. I got a little concerned because I couldn't make out who it was, and I was sure that no one was down there since I had just checked less than 10 minutes before. I went down the hall and walked into the room, and no one was there. Now, that's not the really creepy part. The creepy part is, I think the reason why I saw it was because I started to match the energy of the installation. I was in a bad place during this time, and I believe that if I hadn't tried to be a little bit more positive afterwards, whatever that thing was would have tried to haunt me rather than the art. That's Joseph.
Hmm.
So, I don't... I don't know, but it is interesting, you know, when you're talking about, I imagine an art installation about how the Iraq War and the World War II got started would be dark, mm-hmm. and would bring in some dark energy, you know, because, I mean, you can speak to this more than I can, but, you know, you and I have gone to so many art galleries around the world, and you even more than me, and how you can experience art and you feel an energy from it.
Oh, definitely.
And I could see how that would really give off an energy. And I think energy is so powerful.
Yeah. You know, I always say that, you know, when you, like, say we'll use Van Gogh. Like, if you stand in front of a Van Gogh, he's still there. Like, you can see where he put his brush and moved his brush. And, you know, it's just like his energy is still in that. He left a little bit of himself in every painting he did. And I'd be interested in who this artist was that put together this installation, whether they had some background with the war, you know, or knew somebody in the war, somebody maybe close to them died. You know, I'm not sure, you know, what the history is of this installation, but, you know, artists tend to leave a little bit of themselves in mm-hmm. every installation, and whether that was part of this energy or, you know,
and
I could see it though.
And an art installation like that, the intention is to invoke a feeling.
Oh, definitely.
You know, there's a reason behind that art installation, and they're getting a reaction from you. So I could see, I mean, don't you think if you are working in a gallery that had a really dark exhibit like that, mm-hmm. that you would get, I don't know that it's anything attached, but you would definitely take that energy away every day.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. You're going to feel that.
Do you think that what he saw, that when he saw the woman, was it a woman? Yeah, a woman walking.
Yeah, it was a woman walking.
Do you think that had anything to do with art installation? Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know.
Or did this installation just kind of get in his head and kind of mess with his head?
Okay, A, installation just got in his head and messed with it. B, they have some sort of entity that just hangs around in the gallery all times. This one, this energy just brought it out more.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And who knows what this installation comprised of? Was it objects, found mm-hmm. objects mm-hmm. from those eras that could have their own things attached to it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's just so many ways to look at this story. And it was a super short little story. It's only like two paragraphs long. But
yeah,
it just, the more you think about it, I hadn't really thought about.
You know, I always did a, when I was teaching, I always, at Halloween, I would always do haunted art day. You know, because there's a lot of art that supposedly has, you know, either a curse with it, or, you know, it brings this energy with it that bothers people or makes people do things, you know, like there's all kinds of stories about this. You can't look at this one painting or whatever, you know. And so I would bring those up for Halloween and just have spooky art day. So this is not uncommon.
You know what we should do, Kathy?
Let's do it.
Let's in October, let's like, because we could put a link on the description of the show. Here's the mm-hmm. piece of art we're talking about. So people could click on the link and they could see the art that we're talking about. And let's do some spooky art episodes.
Okay. That'd be fun.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? But I just think that like the whole art installation thing, that is to evoke emotion, invoke emotion mm-hmm. and get a reaction. And it really did affect Joseph.
Yeah. And he said it was affecting other people too. Mm-hmm.
But when you're working there and you're in there day after day, and then they're now on top of, you've got this really dark installation, and now other people are feeling it. It just would create this energy.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how you would take that home with you, actually.
I could too.
I think that was a very interesting story. So if you have a real ghost story, we sure would love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, do that. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You can sign up today through Apple Podcasts, try it 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.